In this part of the show, we will be talking about web services here at WILO. If you've listened to the program long enough, you know that from time to time, we've had various of our staff members here on the show. We've had our managers. We have had our chief engineer. We have had our meteorologist, Ed Keyser. And we thought it might be interesting to talk with our web guy. You know him as the occasional host of Focus 580, was our producer for a long time. And then he moved over and a couple of years ago, actually several years ago, started to become more and more involved in our web operations. And he is now our director of Internet Development. I think that's his title for WILL, not only radio, but also television for all of WILL. We have had a presence on the web for some time now. And we spent a lot of time thinking about how we could improve that, how we could increase it, given also the fact we have kind of limited resources. Jack said he was really interested in hearing from some people who have used our website. And it's an opportunity to call in, tell us what you think about it, how it has worked for you. Do you find it accessible? Is it user-friendly? The kinds of information on there, is that useful to you? Is there something that in your wildest dreams you could like to have us do? We certainly would like to hear about that. You know, whether we could do it today, now that's another question, but we certainly want to hear all about it. So that's kind of the idea. Any and all questions that have to do with WILL on the web, we will take him. All you have to do is call us, if you'd like to talk with Jack, 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have toll-free line. Go anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Well, thanks, David. And can I just say to start that
yes.
I'm a big fan of your show, and so I'm really thrilled to be here. I mean, this is I listen to your show all the time, and I get so much out of it that I'm honored that you asked that I could be on the show.
There do seem to be actually people who feel that way. So if that's true, well, we're very pleased to have you here. And in fact, I was thinking about taking a little time off, so you could be here more often. You could be here more often than you'd really want to. How long have we been on the web now? When did we start streaming?
In 1998. And in fact, that was my first foray into developing stuff on the web, was getting us streaming. And at first, it was just the archives of the show's Focus 580. And in fact, it was for the 1998 election that we set up a system to archive like all the election interviews and news stories and things like that, and we put it on our website, which at that time was really terrible. I mean, our site was really rudimentary, and you know, of course, it still has a long way to go, but at least we've taken several steps forward since then. But at least it did have some good audio archive content. People could actually go back, and they did. I mean, people would write and say, thank you for putting the election interviews, for example, on the website. So that was 1998, and it's grown since then to the point where now, as far as archives, everything we broadcast, all the local programs, Focus 580, Afternoon Magazine, the news features that you hear, the newscasts that air several times a day, and Commodity Week, all the agricultural programming, a lot of stuff. Actually, Classically Black, the Second Sunday concerts from FM, all those are archived on our website, so you can go back and listen anytime you want, assuming you have a good internet connection. And by that I mean preferably broadband, but if you just have a modem connection to the internet, especially the news and talk shows and things like that, they still sound pretty good. Music is still problematic over slow connections, but so we have all this stuff. We actually have, I don't know, some 8,000 hours of archives.
Really?
On our website. Yeah, it's pretty it's grown quite a bit, as I say. What we're finding is that a lot of this stuff gets used. A lot of people really do. They miss an interview when it aired live, and they go back to the site. And of course, you know, the server logs all these contacts. We don't keep any personal information about what people are, you know, who's visiting our site and so forth. But we do get general information about where people are who are visiting our site. We have a lot of international listeners, people listening in Europe and Asia, South America, Mexico, Japan, the Middle East. We know that people are listening all over the world. whether it's a live stream of the archives.
Do we assume, this is one of those things that would be interesting to know, I don't know if there's anyone to know, but do we assume that those are people that attended the University of Illinois, lived in Champaign-Urbana, somehow know about WILL already, and that they have not just somehow by accident or in some deliberate fashion found us and found our website?
I think there's some of that. We get email from people saying, I used to listen to WILL when I lived in Champaign-Urbana, but now I live in Seattle, and I'm glad I found you on the web. Yeah. But it's anecdotal. I think it'd be somewhat difficult to find out exactly who it is who is listening. But we've also had email from people who say, I was looking for information on topic X and ran across your site and found this interview, and thank you for providing it and that kind of thing. So people do write, especially when they have something positive to say about the service, and when they have something negative to say about it as well, they're having a problem or whatever. So, you know, that's the kind of information we get about who is visiting our site and who is listening online. But we don't have any systematic way of knowing who these people are. I do think that in these very sophisticated days of the web, people are becoming more sophisticated all the time about finding things. That's one of the great things about the web. You can find anything you're looking for, basically. And now the search engines are so good that if you are looking for good information about Iraq, the Middle East, environmental issues, politics, whatever, you can find, and we create a lot of that information. So people find it through just searching for stuff also.
We have a caller to talk with, someone on our toll-free line. We'll go there in Kankakee, and they're right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, David. First off, just let me thank you for a wonderful program. I catch you quite often. And I've tried to use your internet site a couple times, and I noticed that we have to make use of real networks software. And I've had real networks on my computer, but they continually want me to update it. I was wondering about whether there would be a chance to have an option of using another downloading application.
Yes.
The Windows Media Player.
I'm so glad you asked that.
I'll hang up and let you answer that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call.
It's a great question, and it's really interesting that this is the first call we got, because I'm hearing this from more and more people. And as a matter of fact, I hope this week we will be offering a live Windows Media Stream because of the very things that the caller mentions. We started out with real audio, real media, real video. Real Networks is the company that produces this streaming format. It's a very good streaming format, very high quality. It was the first true streaming system on the internet, and it basically is a very good system. Unfortunately, they load it down with a lot of stuff that you really don't need, and I'm hearing from a lot of people that they are turning away from real audio and video because of what it does to their computer, because, you know, the caller mentioned you have to upgrade constantly or at least periodically. Also, they do have a free player, and I get calls about this all the time. There's a free Real player, but it's really hard to find on their website. Mm-hmm. And of course they do that so that you will buy the whatever it is, I forget exactly the name of it, Real One is the current version of Real Player. And there's a paid version of it as well. And in fact, you can even sign up for the monthly subscription service and pay a monthly fee of, I think it's $20 or something like that. And what Real has done is they've negotiated with certain information providers. For example, CNN has an exclusive arrangement with Real Networks that you can only get CNN's streaming content, the newscasts and the various stories, you know, through Real Video, if you pay for the monthly subscription service. This is how they make money, of course. So that is a concern for a company that's doing this kind of thing. On the other hand, it also restricts access that citizens have to news content, and I have a philosophical problem with that. And so there are a bunch of issues with regard to Real that a lot of people are starting to go, well, maybe we ought to look for alternatives. And so that's put us on the track of either, well, QuickTime is another streaming format, which is very, very good, and Windows Media, and they're all extremely good at this point. And the easiest thing for us to launch as an additional stream would be Windows Media right now. So as I say, I'm trying to get that going this week.
All right. Well, that's great. Other questions here again. Our welcome. Jack Brighton is our guest. He's our director of Internet Development for WILL. And we thought it'd be interesting to spend some time to talk about web services, what it is we have done, what we hope to do in the future. And from you folks who are listening, we're just interested in your comments. You know, what have your experiences been? Have you tried it? How has it worked for you? And in the perfect world where we could do everything we would want to be able to do, well, what kind of information do you think you'd like to have from our website? You know, I'm sure that Jack has some ideas about what he would like to do, and we'll give him a chance to talk about that. But maybe you have some suggestions too. 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana listeners. We do also have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. A friend of ours is here on the line. It's Mr. Jackson.
Hello.
On our toll-free line. Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good to hear from you, Andrew.
Yeah. Happy holidays to you.
And you too.
Well, wanted to say that I've got some insights. We can start to talk seriously about the Windows Media streaming. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so impressed with the work you guys are doing. It just gets me all excited. You know that.
Well, indeed. In fact, we should let the audience in on the role. Our caller has really helped us a lot with some of the stuff that we've been trying to do with the website. And so, you know, this is someone who has been a volunteer and much appreciated. So I wanted to at least mention that.
Indeed. So we will talk later in the week, and I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Likewise. Well, thank you. And I'll take this opportunity to say that we actually have benefited from a number of volunteers in our web development over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. Andrew is certainly one of them. We don't really have the resources to do this right. And, I say that as the person sort of in charge of it. Well, there is so much to do with regard to the Internet that we cannot do it all. So, you know, you got a guy like me who comes from a journalism background. I produced this show for some 15 years, not particularly, technologically adept, but trying to learn as best I can. And I have benefited from many of the people who have just, you know, called us or written and said, why don't you do X, Y, Z? And I will even help you do that. So, you know, Andrew is one of those people. There have been a number of others. And actually, that's, sort of, it fits with the public broadcasting model, because we depend a lot on this kind of interaction with our listeners, our audience, and just people in our community.
All right. Well, we'll go on here. Let's go next to Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hello.
Call there, line one.
Yeah. Hey, Jack. This is Sheila. I am a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Great.
And I frequently will listen to WILL in the car, and when I get to work or get home, I'll think back and say, oh, I want to check back and see what that story was about, mm-hmm. or send a link to a friend. I really like having that option with the website. But my question is that sometimes I have a problem finding the story because I don't remember the name of the show.
Yeah.
And I wondered if there was any way, instead of putting it on the front page, just sorted by the show, sorting it by story for that day, so we have an easier time referring back to the exact story that we want to share.
Okay, that's a great idea. Part of the issue is if it was an NPR story, a WILL story, a BBC story, I mean, there are all these different sources of stories.
So, yeah.
And we only archive, of course, our own stories on our own site, but NPR and the BBC archive their stories on their site.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes a little bit difficult sometimes, as you say, if you don't remember, you know, what the story was or exactly when it was, to find that stuff. And I think that as search engines get better, that'll become easier. But there are some things that I can do on our site to make it easier to find our stories. Mm-hmm. And I think that your suggestion is a good one. Maybe there are some technological means maybe to provide some kind of index from the BBC and NPR, and I'm working on those ways, but we have
Okay, so that'd be great. Thanks.
We'll try to do it. Thanks so much for calling.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Bye. Let's go on here. We have the car on our line number two. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
As far as streaming, I'd put a vote in for MP4, which I don't know what else plays it on a Macintosh. You can play it on QuickTime, and it's very nice out of Boston. BURs. Windows Media, I find maybe it's just implemented on a Macintosh, kind of screwy. But I find it not as reliable and not as nice. Your former colleague Alex Ashlock as well, and out on the Logan Airport beat today. So I thought I'd report that since I heard his voice this morning. But as far as they, I don't listen to it much in real video. But I noticed that BUR, when they, if you do listen to it on a real player, they have a thing where they take advantage of a little window and scroll stories and things to connect to, which then I guess gets you to the website so that. Then, if you give them a cookie, then you can actually find out who, you know, where people are listening from. So I don't know how much work's involved in that, and I can't offer to help in any of it. So,
well, I appreciate that, and actually, I didn't know BUR was streaming MP4. MP4 is the newest streaming format, and I agree, it is superior. It's just a great format. It'll stream through the QuickTime player or the real player, and I believe also the Windows Media Player, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they all do play it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Creating MP4 is a little bit of a different project, but it is the coming wave of streaming, and certainly I'm looking at that. On the other hand, I have to look at what I can reasonably do now to improve the service. And frankly, WBUR has a lot of money that they can throw at this. And we, frankly, don't.
Well, so, they have apparently a great sponsor who does a lot of the implementation for them. So I don't know. I'm not suggesting that particularly because corporate sponsorship of public radio is not something I'd advocate, but they do seem to have some people that, as they say, help in the implementation or something. I don't know. So
yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot out there, and I really do like the MPEG-4 format the best. And well, keep up the good work. I just wanted to keep the conversation rolling.
Great. I appreciate that. No, it's a good suggestion. And for folks who don't know these terms, MP4, you know, Windows, QuickTime, these are all formats for sending audio and video over the web, and not just audio and video, but text or, you know, images, all kinds of media. And the web is coming together in the way that you essentially can do any kind of media over the web. And what you have are proprietary formats, real media, Windows media, QuickTime media, and now MPEG-4 or MP4. And they're all different ways of sending large amounts of information over a very small wire through the internet. So it essentially takes a large chunk of information and compresses it down to a smaller chunk of information, sends it over the internet to your computer, which then decodes the information and makes it sound bigger than it is. That's a real simple explanation of a thing called a codec, which stands for compression decompression. It's essentially a computer term. And if that was too much, I'll be happy to follow.
I gave him a funny look. That's why he qualified his statement there.
Yeah.
And now, for people who are just sort of getting into this and they're thinking, well, I would like to try this. Should any computer be able to do this, or is there something that you have to have in your computer? And we've talked about the fact, well, you have to have an internet connection, and depending on what the connection is like, the speed of that connection, that either may make it more or less pleasant, reasonable to listen to. But as far as the machine itself goes, will now pretty much any computer come loaded with the proper hardware, software, whatever, to be able to, say, if you wanted to try listening to WYLL over the internet?
Good question. Yes and no. Any Windows computer you buy that has, you know, Windows, and now Windows XP is the operating system, comes with Windows Media Player. So you've got all the software you need there. If it's a Macintosh, you probably have to download a Windows Media Player. There is a player for Macintosh computers. You'd have to download probably any computer you buy. Actually, I don't know this. Some of them may come bundled with Real Player. Real One is the name of it now. Otherwise, you'd have to download that from the Real site, which is www.real.com, and hunt for the free player. And it does take some effort on the part of the user to do that, unfortunately. Same with QuickTime Player. In general, I don't think it comes bundled. It might. I have used Macs, but I don't currently have a Mac, so the new ones may come with QuickTime Player. I don't know. QuickTime is an Apple format, so it probably is already installed. But all the players are free. You can download them off the internet, and it is not that difficult to do, although for some people, computers are so new that asking them to download a piece of software and install it is a little bit of a project. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these formats are accessible. Now, there are a couple exceptions. For example, there is no Windows Media Player for a Unix computer or a Linux operating system. So, that's a format. If we're going to offer Windows Media, we understand that the people out there listening through their Unix workstations or their Linux computers, if they're running that, won't be able to get that stream. They can get the Real audio stream. And also QuickTime, there's a player for all operating systems. But these are limitations inherent in the different formats, and we're trying to, be aware of that. And one thing that's very important to us is accessibility. We don't want to do something that it's going to shut people out. People can't use it, because I think that one of our mandates is to be, educational, public affairs, accessible to anyone. Because that's what this is all about in public broadcasting.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that we, as much as we might like to know something about the people that are going to the website and listening, we pretty much all we know is how many and from where.
Mm-hmm.
How many on an average day, how many hits do we get on our website?
I don't remember the number of hits per day. We get about 18 or 19,000 unique visitors per month. So that's, 18,000, 19,000 different people who use the website every month. That number has been growing on a, essentially month to month. And so I guess that's what I would say in response.
And that's just, we don't know what people are doing. All we know is that they are going to the website. Or is there something we can also say about what it is people are doing when they're on the website?
We can get a general idea of what people are using on our site, what pages are most frequently visited. There's a report that's about actually 80 pages I get every month that has too much information, essentially, like everything else these days. But one of the most popular features on the site is the listen page. I do know that people are going to listen. They're also going to get schedule information to find out what's on TV or FM or AM. There's a really pretty interesting, on the TV side of our WILL site, there's a great function for the TV schedule that is provided by PBS. It's essentially a database, and you can search for by program title or topic or date. It's essentially a really elaborate TV schedule section. So if you go to the TV page, will.uiuc.edu/TV, you'll see that right away, and you can, So people use that a lot. They listen a lot, and they're looking for program information. And that's mainly what people are doing on our site.
We have somebody else here on our toll-free line. We'll talk with them next. Line number 4, they're in Washington, Indiana. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thanks for having the show.
Sure.
I have a question. I don't know whether you can do it. I just tuned in, so you may have already answered it. But
sure.
The possibility of being able to download the programs. I live fairly far away, and reception is only good in a car. And when I walk or run, if I could download them to an MP3 player or a CD and then listen to them then would be really, really helpful.
Yeah, and that is, again, something that I would like to provide. It's a matter of putting the technical means in place for that to happen more or less automatically. Part of my problem is essentially we don't have much in the way of resources, so anything that we're going to offer, I want to make sure that we can continue to offer that, and that means doing it sustainably in a way that is going to, I automated all the archiving of all the stuff that's going on our website so that no human being actually has to produce that. And I'd like to provide MP3s too, but I want to make sure that, before we start, I could actually provide MP3s of a lot of the stuff we're doing right now, but I can't guarantee we can keep doing that. And before I start offering it, I want to make sure we can keep doing it. But that is definitely on the list, and I'm glad to hear that somebody, you know, was interested in that.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Again, other kinds of questions, comments, what have you, about what we're doing on the web. That's what we're doing here in this hour of Focus. Jack Brighton is the guest. He's director of Internet Development for WILL. And as I said at the beginning of the program, on other shows, we've had our station managers, radio, TV, we've had our chief engineer, we've had our meteorologist, we've done all these talk-to segments, and when we thought, well, it might be interesting to do a talk-to-the-web guy segment. And
it might not be, too.
It might not be, you know, I never can tell. And just give people an opportunity to tell us how they're using it, how it's working for them, and ask questions, and also do as... you know, as this caller said, and say, gee, I wish I could do this thing that I can't do now. What do you think about that? Because I don't want to make it sound like I know any more than the minimal. But now if you go to the web archives, you can do that and you can listen to the program. But it's essentially you're listening to it kind of like over a wire. It does not come and live in your computer. You cannot make a copy of this yourself on your computer so that you could then, if you wanted to, as the caller says, put it in an MP3 player and listen while you're jogging, put it on a CD, play it in your car. You can't do that now. But we would, I guess, from what Jack is saying, you would like it to be like that flexible, but it's just a matter of having additional technology to be able to do that?
Yeah, and part of it is at the server level, and we're trying to get that in place so that we can offer MP3s. And an MP3 is an audio file that you download, as you suggested, to your computer. You can listen to it anytime you want. You have a copy of the audio file, and you can put it on an MP3 player, an iPod, or whatever device you have. Mm-hmm. Even cell phones now are, you know, it's amazing the devices that they're now able to put. You can put audio files on. So that's something that will be coming, and I believe that it's a really important thing for us to be doing. I have always felt that on our site, one of our purposes is to get people information. We want to give away as much information as possible. We don't want to charge for it because this is public broadcasting, and there's a big argument about this because it does cost money to do internet streaming. It costs money to put up a website for the technical, you know, just requirements of it, but also the human aspect of it. That is somebody to maintain it, to fix it when it's broken, to answer questions from users, to develop further applications and to push it forward as we're trying to do. That's why I was essentially... my job was redefined to take over this stuff. But essentially, there are a lot of elements that have to happen for that stuff to work sustainably. And before we start launching a new service, as I said, I want to make sure that we can maintain it.
Okay. Well, again, other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Earlier on, I said something like, there are things that you would like to be able to do, services mm-hmm. you'd like to provide that for the reason of, I don't want to go on and on about the resources thing, but, you know, that's the case. The resources are limited. So there's some things that maybe we would like to do that we can't right now. What would be on your list of dream stuff that you'd say, boy, I would really like to have this on our website. I can't right now. Maybe someday we might. What are some of those things?
Okay. One of the things I would really love to do, and this is a personal interest of mine as well as something I think we ought to be doing, is something that in the news industry is being described as digital storytelling, which I think is a terrible phrase, but that's become sort of the industry standard. And it's essentially taking news stories, issues, things that are going on in the community, and developing ways for people to essentially get at the information in a way that is very, very useful and interactive. There are really good examples of this on the web. We're currently at WILL not really doing this, but using a lot of highly crafted sorts of ways of telling stories, using the strengths of web technology, whether that's a flash presentation or some combination of streaming and text and user interaction that allows people to sort of participate either in just simply navigating through a presentation of a story on the web, or actually contributing to the evolution of the story by part, you know, like sort of a community web board or something that enables people to respond to a story. This is one of the strengths of the internet. It's interactive. It's not just TV with a mouse, you know. So what I want to do is find ways of taking what we're doing on the air and extending that on the web to provide people sort of deeper, richer access to stuff behind the story, and then to be able to respond to that in a way that feeds back into what we're doing here to improve the service. And that's sort of a general way of describing it, but that's one of my dreams. And the problem is that the craft is not very clearly defined. We know how to do television. We know how to do radio. We know how to do magazines and newspapers. I don't think anybody really knows how to do the web in the way that, for example, 10 years from now, we'll consider the state of the art.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk with someone else here. Again, on our toll-free line, Matt Toon, line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I can only listen to you at work through the web because of the building structure. And, okay, I'll click on Listen to Will, and I'll get the real player, and it'll start streaming, and then all of a sudden it'll come up, address no longer exists, or bad address. Like, you disappear for a while, you don't have a valid address, and I'll try maybe half an hour later, and everything is fine.
Okay. I don't know exactly what's going on, because every situation might be a little different, but you might be behind a firewall in your workplace. And there's a setting in RealPlayer where you can select the method of the way the RealPlayer will connect to the stream. And essentially, you want to set it to HTTP streaming as opposed to UDP or TCP. These are different. I don't know if that means anything to you, but there, in your RealPlayer, there's an options panel that'll give you the ability to do that.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Good luck. Other questions again are welcome. Jack Brightness here. He's our Director of Internet Development for WILL. And again, if you have questions about your experiences with the web, maybe some kind of a problem, or you're just interested in talking about what we're doing, you have suggestions, things we might try, any and all of that is certainly welcome. All you have to do is pick up the telephone and give us a call. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Andrew, people listening earlier in the call, the show, they heard Andrew Jackson calling in, the fellow that has done a lot for us as a volunteer, a great guy, an amazing thing when he just sort of said, hey, you know, I think you guys are doing good work and maybe you could use a little help. And of course we said yes. And he's invested a lot of hours in this place. One of the things that we were talking about one day that I thought was really interesting was the possibility that we could be talking to guests by internet phone, and that we could that way get a much better connection than we do over the conventional phone lines, because a lot of the shows we do, we're talking with people long distance. And sometimes you're lucky and you get a really good connection, and sometimes you feel like the person you're talking to is on Mars. Mm-hmm. It's that far away. And we're always thinking, gosh, it would be great if we could have a really high-quality connection, if we could have something that sounds, if not like the person was here in the studio, then at least get rid of some of that scratchy, foggy stuff that you can get on a long-distance phone line. And he said, well, you know, there's really, if the person you're talking to has the computer and they have a good internet connection, there's no reason why you couldn't do it that way. I thought that was a pretty interesting idea.
We should experiment with that. We haven't done that, obviously, but that totally makes sense. And internet telephony is, you know, a really growing industry. And there have been a couple of industry announcements in the past couple of weeks. I forget who are the players because it changes so fast. But I think AT&T is now getting into voice over internet, as it's called, and offering new services for people to, have their telephone go over the internet, which is kind of throwing the telephone industry into a tizzy, because now they're going, well, it doesn't really, you know, it's funny because it doesn't take that many people, you know, employee-wise, for a corporation to offer this service. It's really pretty simple technology. But the phone industry employs hundreds of thousands of people. So now there's a debate in the industry whether what's going to happen to all those jobs, you know, because the internet has come along and made all this stuff really simple to do. So anyway, I mean, this is something that's evolving very rapidly. And, you know, WILL, we try to do the best job we can with providing good information and reporting in public affairs. We are not exactly cutting edge as far as technology, but, you know, it's something that we ought to be looking into.
Yeah. Well, again, we have probably about 10 minutes on the show with Jack Brighton. If you have questions about what we're doing in the way of the web here on WILL radio and television, you can give us a call, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Are there some other things that you'd like to mention?
I certainly want to mention the pledging online. And this is not a pledge break. Usually when people hear David and my voice at the same time on the show,
they run for the radio to turn it off.
No, they don't do that. They know it's during the pledge drive. And this is not the pledge drive. But I do want to mention it's really been an important element of our fundraising, actually, over the past couple of years. More and more people are using our website to contribute to the stations. And I am sounding like a pledge break, aren't I?
You know, you just go into pledge mode. It's just like someone flips a switch.
Exactly. But it actually has been a significant way for us to raise funds over the past couple of years, and more so because people are finding it so much more convenient. When we redesigned our site just this past April, we launched a new redesigned site. We made sure that there are a few links at the top of every single web page on our site. Mm-hmm. One of those is schedules. So if you're looking for schedule information, you can get it on any page in the site. Just click that. Listen. Again, on every single web page. Weather, which is, again, something that people want often from the website. And pledge, because we didn't want to make that hard for people to find. So if you go to our site, you'll see those four links at the top of every single page. And we have, I don't know, the last count, I mean, some 500-600 pledges over the past year on our website. And that's quite a lot.
All right. That's good. And it's probably something that I'm sure that we will be mentioning more at pledge time, because I think what we discovered was those of us who've been doing this for a long time, the idea of web pledging is not really on our top of our agenda. You know, we're so used to giving the phone number. Mm-hmm. But I think we found out that whenever we mention the website, we get some pledges.
That's
so
right.
I expect that we'll probably be doing that more and more as part of the usual spiel that we do when we do our fundraising. We have some other folks to talk with. We'll go next to Champagne. Line number one. Hello.
Yes. I have a question. I hope it's appropriate for what you're trying to do. But
okay.
I listen to you on or through my computer periodically, and I've noticed that a lot of other stations have discontinued that service because of some legal concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious why you can do it. I'm delighted you can do it, but why you can do it. And also, am I correct that the FM station cannot be listened to that way?
Yes.
If you don't mind, I'll hang up and listen to you because I'm on a cell phone. Who knows what's going to happen.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent questions. The reason a lot of radio stations have disappeared from the web is in the last couple of years, because of copyright issues, the various players involved in this, Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, BMI and ASCAP and CSEC, which are the rights, the copyrights, actually, all music, there are different rights that different people have over recorded music. One is the actual composition rights, and that's BMI and ASCAP and CSEC. Those are the composers who hold the rights to music through those organizations. Then there are the mechanical recording rights, which are held by the studios and studio corporations, which actually own the physical recordings of the compositions. And then there's the Recording Industry Association of America, which essentially is an umbrella organization that represents, to some extent, all these players. And you know, you have the U.S. Office of Copyright and the Congress, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. All these legal elements go into what happens on the web. And what has happened over the past couple of years is the industry said, well, you know, it's great that you want to stream music over the internet, all these radio stations with their websites, but guess what? We want a cut of that. And so they've negotiated essentially an agreement that says stations who broadcast over the internet have to pay, and I don't remember the exact formula. There's actually about a 11 or 12 numbers of items. There's like 12 items on the list that determine how much you got to pay if you're going to broadcast music over the web. The reason we don't have to do that is we're not broadcasting music over the web. We're broadcasting our own content, the stuff that we produce here. So we own the material that we're putting out on the web. And the stuff that we don't own, like NPR and the BBC and the CBC and all these other program providers, we have signed agreements that give us the rights to do that. And if we didn't have those agreements, we couldn't do it. Yeah. And with FM, we're not streaming FM because of those music rights issues. There are some things we could do that would enable us to do that, but there's some agreements that NPR has negotiated and various other program providers, but it's kind of onerous. I mean, it would be expensive for us to do that, and we just haven't done it because there hasn't been enough demand for it, frankly, for us to take those steps to stream our FM service.
Well, and given the fact that that not everybody has the best kind of connection, and depending on what kind of sound card they have and what kind of speakers they have, they might not be real happy with what it sounded like listening over the internet to music. Mm-hmm. With, as you said earlier, with speech, it's not as much of an issue. As long as you kind of understand what people are saying, maybe that's the most important thing. But for music, you want it to sound as good as it can. And we, now that we listen to digitally recorded and performed and presented music, we've gotten kind of spoiled on music quality. So it could be that a lot of people would, once they heard what it sounded like, they'd say, well, this doesn't really sound very good, so maybe I wouldn't want to do it anyway.
Although I would argue a couple points on that. Number one, the streaming formats are now so good that you can stream really good sounding music over the internet, especially on a broadband connection. Someone who has a cable modem or a DSL or, in an office building here, we've got Ethernet connections, which, the sound is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. It's better than CD quality. You can stream better than CD quality over the internet if people have broadband connections. And if they don't have a broadband connection, they've got a modem, well, yeah, the sound quality is compromised, but how many bad FM radios are out there? FM radios that have lousy speakers or bad, not particularly great sounding circuits. So, I mean, I think that the quality issue is, for me, that's not really it. Mm-hmm. It's really the rights issues. You can make, I can stream an FM signal at, say, 128 kilobits per second or even, 256 kilobits per second that will sound almost as good as a CD. And there are stations out there streaming at 1.5 megabits per second, which is better than a CD. And we could do that if we had the resources and it was a priority. So I really think the quality issue is really not it. It's really more the rights and the logistics.
One more caller at least here, Champagne, line two. Hello.
Ah, hello, gentlemen.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, good. I was rather pleased to go out to the car and hear you talking about webcasting. I owned a small webcasting company about 5-6 years ago.
Great.
And just kind of curious, I've been poking around a little bit using Shoutcast and Winamp, and I've been rather impressed with some of the new webcasting television stations that are actually out there. If you don't have a broadband connection, you're going to get a rather questionable picture, but have you considered using MP3 webcasting for your audio and maybe moving WILL TV, if possible? I know the legalities are just so onerous and unintelligible. I tried to understand them. My lawyer tried to understand them. That's why I got out of it.
Right.
But would that be something you might consider? Because MP3 webcasting using Shoutcast, it's just so easy to get set up.
Yeah, and indeed, we are considering that. I don't know whether it would be a Shoutcast server. So Shoutcast is a company that provides server software for streaming MP3s. There are others. There are open source versions of that. And in fact, I think QuickTime Broadcaster can do that as well, which is a free piece of software that runs on a Macintosh. So, yeah, we're considering doing that. It's just we have to have a robust enough server to do all these different formats. And the more formats we want to serve, then, of course, it has to be, more and more bandwidth. So, I mean, as you know, someone who ran a streaming service, you got to pay for the bandwidth, and there are other issues you got to deal with. So it's a matter of what we can do with what we've got.
Oh, absolutely. Anymore, the bandwidth is a secondary issue to the legalities. The legalities are just so difficult to get around. I'm very pleased to hear you on the air, even.
Well, thanks. And I was interested to hear you say that they were so complicated that, you talk with your lawyer and it was almost impossible to decipher. And it's exactly that. It's a big gray area still, although now, you know, there have been some rules established by the Copyright Office that sort of makes sense, but the rules are really complicated. Like if you play, I think it's more than three songs by the same artist in an hour or something, you got to pay more, or it's really complicated.
Yeah, there are rules. You can't play a certain artist X number of times over a given period of time.
Right.
And the big, one of the big things that webcasters are fighting over right now is the fact that radio stations don't need to pay that royalty. They are not under the same rules for performance. To perform the music over the air, their royalties are completely different than webcasters.
Yes.
The whole logic behind that is, well, webcasters, we're doing the same thing, just with different technology. Why do we have to pay a huge amount more monetarily than the standard terrestrial web, broadcasters?
Absolutely right. And the other thing that goes into that, of course, is you have to report back your playlist. Do you have to? There's a pretty onerous reporting requirement in this thing that you have to track all this information, and you have to provide it to, I don't even know who it is, because we're not doing it, so I haven't bothered to worry about it. But so it becomes a matter of staff time. Somebody has to deal with all that information, and you know.
And that information is almost completely unrecordable when you get into some of the webcasting peer-to-peer technologies. You simply don't have that information available to you because you could have a million listeners out there that aren't recording back to you.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll sit back here and listen to the remainder of the program.
Thanks for the call. We're pretty much at the point where we're going to have to stop. Any last sort of thought you'd like to leave with people who are listening?
Yeah, we really need audience feedback on what we're doing on the web. And you know, we're doing the best we can with what we got, but frankly, you know, and the list of what we're doing is pretty long, the stuff that I want to do. But frankly, I really want to depend, as we do in our broadcast service and Focus 580 in the news, hear from people who use the service to know what it is they want us to do. That's really the public broadcasting model, and I'd like to follow that on the web. So anytime people have suggestions, ideas, criticisms, whatever. I hope you will get in touch with me. My name is Jack Brighton, and you can reach me here at the station, 217-333-0850, and my email address, jackb@uiuc.edu. And please don't send me spam, but if you have comments, you're more than welcome to do that.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in emailing, having suggestions for programs or any of that kind of stuff, you can also go to our email through our website.
Absolutely.
Go to
our
webpage. And if you want to send an email to a specific person around here, you can do that too. Well, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Jack Brighton, he's our Director of Internet Development here at WILL Radio and Television.